Good evening, everybody. We mentioned last night in passing the Gemara Menachos Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us Kala Oisek Petaros Chatos Kilu Hikriv Chatos. Anyone who recites the Parsha of the Karbanos, it's as if he has brought the Karbanos themselves. That's the famous Gemara in Megillah as well. Unishalma Parm Sfasenu. When we daven, it's as if we have brought the Karbanos themselves. In fact, the Marsha writes in Tainus Daf Chav Ches, this is what the Pasuk means, Lule Saros Chasha Shuai. So obviously the Pashup Shah in the Pasuk means that a person should view learning as something which makes him very happy and very excited, and without it he would be completely depressed. But the Marsha says another explanation might be that if not for the fact that I knew that I have the Torah, that I know that even in the time of Galus, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, I still have the Torah, I could learn the Parsha of Chatos, I could learn the Parsha of Ola, and I can still consider it as if I brought a carbon on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach. So says the Marsha, if I didn't have that, even in the times of Galus, as avadati ba'ani, I would go into complete depression. I would be so sad over the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. I wouldn't be able to live with myself had I not had an option post-Beis HaMikdash era. That's similar to what the Chida writes as well in Matovo Alecha Yaakov. So he says, we all know that Ohel means Olo Shel Torah. As it says, Adam Ki Yamas Bo'ol. So he says, that's what it means. Matovo Alecha Yaakov Mishkenosecha Yisrael. When a person has the Ohel Shel Torah, when he still has the option of learning, of saying the tefillos of the Karbanos, so it's as if he has Mishkenosecha Yisrael, it's as if he's still living with the Beis HaMikdash, although the Beis HaMikdash is not here. So this is what the Torah tells us in our Chaim Siman Aleph, that one is supposed to say the Parshas HaKarbanos every day, and in fact after he's done he should say Yehi Ratzon Ki'ilu Hikravti Ola, or Yehi Ratzon Ki'ilu Hikravti Chatas. A person should actually recite those words, that it would make it as if he really was makar v'karban on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach itself. That's where Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna points out in one of his tshuvas, a beautiful tshuva when he discusses some of these issues. So he talks about what do we do when a woman gives birth. So we have the Karbanos HaYoledes. The Torah tells us which Karbanos a woman has to bring when she gives birth. So who's supposed to recite that after the woman gives birth? Because in fact, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the husband has to provide the money for the wife to bring the Karban up to the Beis HaMikdash. So should he say it because he's supplying the money? Nowadays, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, who should say it? The husband, because he, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, supplies the money? Or should the woman say it because, in essence, it's really her carbon? She's the one that had the baby. So it's an interesting thing that the Achronim really take this idea seriously, that when one says the Parshas HaKarbanos, it's really considered as if he himself is being makarv the carbon on the Mizbeach itself. Rameir Arik once said a story that he found himself together with the Imrei Emes. So he asked the Imrei Emes, I don't understand. The Gemara says over here in Menachos Daf Kuf Yud that Kala Oisek B'Parshas Chatos, if a person wants to make it as if he's brought a Chatos on the Mizbeach, he should just learn or recite the Parsha of Chatos. So he said, I don't understand. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, an interesting Gemara, Harotze L'Nasech Yayin Al Gabi HaMizbeach, a person who wants to make it as if he has brought Nesachim on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, what should he do? What should be the end of the sentence? Read the Parsha of Nesachim. Then it's as if you've brought Nesachim on the Mizbeach. The same way the Gemara says by everything else. You want to bring a Chatos Mizman Hazeh? Say the Parsha of Chatos. You want to bring a Ola? Say the Parsha of Ola. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara in Yuma says, HaRotzeh L'Nasech Yayin Agav Yam Mizbeach, someone who wants to make it as if he has offered Nesachim on top of the Mizbeach, even in a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, says the Gemara, Yemali Gronon Shal Tamidei Chachamim Yayin. He should go ahead and be the butler. He should go ahead and give wine to Talmidei Chachamim. So ask Rav Meir Arik to the Imrei Emes, I don't understand. It's a much easier option. If a person wants to make it as if he's offered Nesachim Al Gabi HaMizbeach, why not go and read the Parsha of Nesachim? Why should I go and buy $100 bottle of wine and give it to a Talmid Chacham? It's much more difficult. So that was the kasha that he had. So the Imrei Emes responded that he also once had this question. So the Imrei Emes said, and I didn't know the answer until the following story. So he says, every time I used to bench Mezumin, so I would always bench Alakos, and he said he had a younger brother who was killed in the war. So his younger brother's name was Moshe Betzalel. So the Imrei Emes said, my younger brother, every time we were up to benching, he would pick up the cup of wine and put it in my hand. Right? As we know, someone else is supposed to give you the cup of wine when you bench. So his younger brother, Moshe Betzalel, always used to be Mechabedim, and he would pick up the cup of wine and put it in the hands of the Imrei Emes. So the Imrei Emes said one time he was traveling with his brother, and they got to the city Ludmir, and obviously they feared a tish over there, or whatever they did. And he says, it comes time to bench. And one of the chassidim jumps up at the table and he brings the cup, he gives it to the Imrei Emes. So that was always his younger brother's job. He was the one who offered the wine. So all of a sudden this Amaretz at the table doesn't know his place and he jumps up and he gives it. So after that time, the Imrei Emes said, now I understand the Gemara. Why does the Gemara say, HaRotzeh L'Nasech Yayin Agami HaMizbeach? person who wants to make it as if he's makir nesachim, even bisman she'em b'samigdash kayam, he should go ahead and give the Talmidei Chachamim wine. The Rambam said, because sometimes you're going to have an Amaretz who Pasha doesn't know how to learn. And he doesn't know how to read the words. He can't daven and he can't learn. So all he can do, what option does the Torah leave for him at a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash? What are you going to say? He should go into depression? He should have no option? If a guy can't learn, and a guy can't daven, and he doesn't know what to do, it's a time when there's no HaKarvus HaKarbanus, and he doesn't know how to get around the problem. And he wants to also be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zakti Amriyamas, don't worry, the Torah has a way out for him too. The Torah figured out a way that even at a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, even for the guy that can't learn, that can't daven, there's an Eitzah for him too. Yimali Gronin Shel Talmidei Chachamim Yayin. Even in Pashat Amaret should go ahead and bring the wine to the Talmud Chacham, and it's as if he has brought a carbon as well. So that's what the Emeramis commented on this story, and with that he answered the question of Rav Meir Arik. The Kli Chemda points out in Parshas Metzora, an interesting Ha'ara, that although we have in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there's something called the carbon Ani and something called the carbon Ashir. At times there's a person who brings a carbon that's more expensive if he can actually afford it, and at times he brings a carbon that's cheaper, that's less expensive, it's more affordable for him. So the Kli Chemda says, what about Bizman Hazeh? Let's say you have a poor person nowadays who does an Aveira, so which Parsha should he recite? Should he recite the Parsha of Karban Ashir? Because I'm not actually bringing the Karban, so it's not costing me anything. So should I recite the Karban Ashir, or should I recite the Karban Ani? That's the subject that he has. And he comes out that he should recite the Karban Ashir. And I think Al Derech HaMusar, the idea over here is, in the Kli Chemda Safek, that there's no such thing as a person being an Ani when it comes to Talmud Torah. Everyone has the same equal chance. There's no one who's considered an Ashir. There's no one who's considered more of a Bailim, more of an owner on a Torah than anybody else. Everyone has the same slice of the Torah that everybody else is entitled to. And anyone who sits down to learn is automatically considered an usher when it comes to Talmud Torah. If you want to have a piece of it, go ahead and get it. So therefore we say, even Bizman Hazeh, if a person is an Ani, and in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, he would not have had the chance, he couldn't afford to bring a carbon usher, still when it comes time to saying it, to reciting the Parsha, he should recite the Parsha of carbon usher because he has an equal opportunity to learn as everybody else. Rav Itzula Valozhiner, I saw today in the Otzareinu Hayashan, I don't know if anyone has that. It's a beautiful sefer where they quote stories from Gedolim in Europe from before the war. So they say that Rav Itzula Valozhiner, he was the son of Rav Chaim Valozhiner, and he later became the Rosh Hashiva after Rav Chaim Valozhiner passed away. So they say that Rav Itzula Valozhiner said, we have this famous pasuk that says, a Navi, Unishalma Parm Svasenu. Right, that when we daven, it's considered as if we've been makriv karbanos on top of the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Itzula Valozhiner said, well, it's interesting to note that our tefillos are considered, they're called parim. When we daven, we're considered like cows. He said, yeah, it's a nice saying, neshama parim svasenu, but if you think about it, we're considering our tefillos like parim. So the pashup shot in the pasuk is, it's as if we're bringing the parim on the mizbeach. But he pointed out, al derech hadrash, that sometimes we as mispalalim, sometimes we as Ovdei Hashem, also serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like animals. And he said, once in a while you have a situation where a person comes to shul, and he just says the words, he opens the siddur, and it's with no feelings, no emotion, no understanding, no thinking, he doesn't know what he's doing, and it's the same way an animal. You give it instructions, you hit it, and it goes and it does the work. You tell it, today I want you to do X, and he does it. He doesn't think about why he's doing it, he doesn't understand what he's doing, what he's involved with, yet he goes ahead and he does it. So said Rav Itzula Valozhiner, that's the same. Sometimes, unfortunately, we find ourselves in the same type of situation where a person opens up the siddur, he comes to shul, he hasn't done any hachanas, he hasn't prepared himself, he hasn't thought at all about what he's doing, he doesn't understand the seriousness of what is going on in front of him. Dvar ma'om de meruma shalolam, like the Gemara says, tefillah is something which is extremely chashuv. And he says that's why the pasuk over here refers to tefillah as part of it, because sometimes we act like animals ourselves when we daven. Then he continued to say, Rav Itzula Valozhiner, he said that one time he was davening in shul, and a Pashut Yid walked into the shul, and he watches him sitting in the back, and he's just zipping through the words of davening. He couldn't even catch the words that he was saying. He was saying it so quickly, and he was out before he started. So Rav Itzula Valozhiner didn't want to embarrass him in public. He didn't want to give a public musar shmu, so he went over to the guy, and he said, can I invite you to my house for breakfast? Maybe, you know, I see you're a guest in town. Maybe you can come to my house. He says, oh, you know, the Rosh Hashiva invites him over, of course. So he goes to his house. So he figured over breakfast, he's going to talk to him about Hilchos Tefillah, talk to him about the importance of davening. And he'll understand that, you know, this is not the proper way to daven. So he starts talking to him and he says, you know, it says in Shulchan Aruch that a person is supposed to daven very slowly and carefully, and it's the same way that a person counts money is the way he's supposed to daven. You should do everything carefully and slowly and think about what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're saying. So the Yid says to him, listen, Rosh Hashiva, let me give you a mashal. He says, you know, let's say sometimes, you know, you have to travel on a wagon. So he says, you're going to load up the wagon, you're going to go on your trip. So he says, imagine if you're traveling through the city very slowly. So he says, as you're going along the way, you're going to have all the homeless are going to jump on the back, and all the mishugayim who are drunk in the streets. Why not make your life miserable? We'll jump onto the back of your carriage. Once you're driving so slowly anyway through the town, may as well freeload and get to the next town if we can't. So he says, but if a person goes and he loads up his wagon and he starts zooming through the town and he goes so quickly that he's by the next town already before he even started, so he said, in such a case, no one's going to have the opportunity to jump on. No one's going to have the chutzpah to do it because they won't be able to do so. I'm driving so quickly, they won't be able to jump on. So he said, so it's the same thing. When I daven, if I daven slowly, so I have an opportunity for all those strange things that are going to come on my mind, they're going to start distracting me. If I daven quickly and I say the word so fast, so then there's no chance, there's no time for anything that doesn't have to do with tefillah to come into my mind. So that's what the Yid said to Rabbi Tzilav Alashner. This is why I daven quickly. I don't want to be distracted. So Rabbi Tzilav Alashner said, yeah, you're right. The problem is, if the wagon goes so quickly, the driver himself can't even get on. So that's what he said. He said, if you daven so quickly, you can't even get on, you can't even get started. So that's what he said. We have to be careful to keep that in mind. Just one last thought on this as well. They quote from the Kedushas Levi that he said also a beautiful insight. He says, we all know the end of the Pasuk is called the Neshama Parm Svasenu. That's the famous part of the Pasuk. But he says, if you look back in the beginning of the Pasuk, how does the Navi introduce this whole idea of Neshama Parm Svasenu? Says the Kedushas Levi, the beginning of the Pasuk is Kechu Imachem Dvarim Vishuvu El Hashem, and then a few words in the middle, and then the end of the Pasuk is Neshama Parm Svasenu. Zok the Kedushas Levi, a beautiful insight. He says, you look at times where the Gemara, he says, just take for example over here. And we say a tefillah yiratzon ki'ilu hikrabti. I want to make it as if, I want the Rebbeinu Shlom to consider it as if I actually brought a carbon. Even though I only said it, still I want the Rebbeinu Shlom to consider it as if I actually was makir the carbon on the Mizbeach bepoel, as if I did it proactively with my hands, as if I'm there. Says the Kedushas Levi, sometimes we look at our speech and he says, the Gemara itself tells us when a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's ki'ilu harag nefashos. It's as if you're killing somebody. If a person is involved in chalifa and flattery, and flattering a rasha who really doesn't deserve any kavod, so the Gemara says that's ki'ilu avid avad azara. Yet when it comes to those times, we're makel on those averes, we say, nah, it's not really. I'm not really killing the guy when I talk lashon hara. I, the Gemara says it's ki'ilu shafech damim. I, the Gemara says it's ki'ilu avid avad azara. We say, yeah, but I'm only speaking. I'm not really doing it. It's not ki'ilu I'm going ahead and killing the guy with my own hands. It's not ki'ilu I'm going and serving avad azara with my own body. Therefore, said the Kedushas Levi, first step in order to have your tefillos considered like karbanos is kechu imachem devarim. Take your side of the ke'ilu seriously. When the psukim, when the gemaras tell us about all the ke'ilus, if you speak in a certain way, it's ke'ilu you're avid avad azar. You do another thing with your mouth, it's ke'ilu you were harag nefashos. So he says, if you take your end of the deal seriously, kechu imachem devarim, start doing tshuva on your own dvarim, on your own things that are ki'ilu, where the Rebbeinu Shlom says to you, if you violate these yisurim, that's ki'ilu, you did something terrible. If you do your part, and you're careful about that, and you consider it as chamer, as a maisa itself, then Hashem will follow through with his part as well, in Neshama Parm Svasenu. He'll end off and say, my ki'ilu will also be as if you did it. Even though you're only saying the psukim, even though you're only reciting the mishnayos, you're only learning about the karbanos themselves, but since it says ki'ilu hikravti, if you do your ki'ilu, I'll do my ki'ilu. And it will be as if you're in the Beis HaMikdash itself, offering karbanos, and as if you did it with your own two hands. That is what the Kedushas Levi shares with us over here, and it's something just to think about. He says in the time of tshuva, when we want the Rebbeinu Shlom to really consider all of our tefillos as if they're really meaningful, so he says we have to keep our mouths as part of the deal as well. Our half of the ki'ilu also has to be taken seriously if we want the Rebbeinu Shlom's ki'ilu to be taken seriously at this time of the year as well. Wish everyone a wonderful evening.